Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome to the Friday, June 3rd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And by the way, if you miss a show, make sure you check out our revamped website, awfpodcast.com, awfpodcast.com. Two guests on the show today. We're going to kick things off with Dorsey Hager, longtime supporter of the show, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, and we're going to get an update on Intel. It's my understanding that they awarded the site work for that project. We're talking a $100 million project. And I'll tell you, this is really jump-starting a lot of businesses, not just in Central Ohio, but around the state. More than 140 Ohio companies in Intel Corporation's supply chain already know what the rest of the state is discovering. The new Intel microchip plants coming to Ohio will be good for growth. So right there, 140 companies. This was reported recently on Cleveland.com. And Ohio is going to be such a beneficiary of this. And again, we're talking about technology replacing many of the manufacturing jobs that disappeared over the years. So we'll get into that. All right, let's go to Columbus, Ohio. One of our regulars, longtime contributor and supporter of the show, that would be Mr. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. And all the buzz in Central Ohio is all about Intel. Dorsey Hager, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, my brother?
Great. How are you doing there this fine weekend? It looks like this is going to be our first big summer, first big hot weekend of the year. So this is going to be good.
And I'll tell you, the news from Central Ohio is all over the state. I've been monitoring what's been going on with the Intel plant, and I understand the site work has been awarded. But I saw a story here that more than 140 Ohio companies based in the state of Ohio, that's part of the Intel Corporation supply chain. I mean, this is already happening. I mean, we've got companies popping up. They're ready to rock and roll. So, Dorsey, fill me in. Where are we with construction and all that? Are we on time, on budget? I know it's kind of premature, but fill me in. Go ahead.
Well, it is a little premature, but, you know, you got to start a project on time. If you don't start it on time, then it's hard to make up time to make sure that it gets finished on time. But I know that Intel's excited. They picked Gil Bain to manage the site work. Gil Bain is going to be using McDaniels, which is locally here in Columbus, and also Northstar, which is a company out of Cleveland. But they're going to be doing the site work and the site prep to get this ready to hopefully start construction here in the next 4 to 6 months. But what you said is absolutely right about the companies here in Ohio. Right now, I'm hearing right around 125, 150 companies, the same that you're hearing. I'm hearing that once Intel is up and operational, there could be as many as 300 suppliers here in the state they could have operations in as many as 80 of the 88 counties. So even though this is a Central Ohio project and it's a large project and it's in Licking County, it's in New Albany right outside of Columbus, this is going to be a project that's going to have ramifications across the state. And I think many of those ramifications are going to be very, very good. So this is continues to be a good thing. Everything we're hearing is positive. So we're excited to get this started, get this project underway, and we're really looking forward to it. And I know a lot of our members, a lot of our unions, a lot of our contractors are looking forward to it as well. So it's going to be really interesting. But so the site work has been awarded. They have picked somebody to manage the project, who I met with when I was in Portland a couple weeks ago, which is great. So that young man is ready to come to Columbus and start searching for a house and schools and all that stuff. So he's ready to come here from Portland. And I saw a blurb in the Dispatch yesterday that they did hire who's going to be running the plant once the plant becomes operational. So that's good news as well. So it's full steam ahead and everything's rolling really well. And some good things happening, some really good things happening.
We're talking 7,000 construction jobs, and once the facility is built, they will directly employ 3,000 highly skilled, well-paid workers, making it one of the state's largest single-site manufacturing employers. And I'll tell you, we need it, because we've seen what happened with manufacturing, not just in Ohio, but around the country. We saw those jobs just leave first for Mexico, then to China, then to Vietnam. So this is all good, and I have to salute Intel, because they had plants, and they still do have plants overseas, but it's good to know that they're bringing it all home. Bring it all home, that's what I say. So let's get an update on the construction side, because I know there's a huge demand down there. I mean, it's not the only plant that's being built. Let's be honest, there's other things happening in Central Ohio. So how are we doing ramping up the workforce on this, Dorsey?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of my meetings, probably 90% of my meetings the last 12, 16 weeks since that announcement took place, have been centered around recruitment, retention, workforce development, apprenticeship, pre-apprenticeship, which has been great. But I've had some really good meetings at the county about increasing our funding levels for building futures and driving futures. I'll give you one set of numbers that kind of illustrates that. But when I was out in Portland, when I was out in Arizona, they were well aware of our Building Futures program, but they were really excited to hear about driving futures as well. And these are some of these CDL jobs and some of these driving jobs that, you know, whether it's somebody that's delivering concrete or picking up refuge or driving a dump truck or doing delivery of parts and materials, that's what a lot of our people that we graduate from this program do. So last year we budgeted for about 40 people. We trained about 100. This year we've budgeted for about 40. We're probably going to turn out about 100 to 140. Next year I think we're going to budget for right around 200 people. That's on the driving future side. The building futures, we don't have any specific numbers yet, but we're going to increase that as well. Plus, we're going to try to increase our geographic footprint to get outside of Franklin County a little bit more and become regional, because obviously a lot of these projects that are coming in Licking County, but there's also projects popping up outside of Columbus and Franklin County as well. You know, there's three Google plants, two of them are outside of three Google data centers, two of them are outside of Franklin County. Amazon continues to grow and expand and acquire land outside of Franklin County to expand their database footprint, which is great. We've talked about Microsoft. We've talked about Facebook. The Facebook project in New Albany is not incomplete, but there's an expansion there. And then I was able to meet with Ohio State President Christina Johnson last week, which was awesome to reconnect and touch base with her. And she went through the blueprint and the construction timeline for the next 10 years of what she sees happening there, the main campus at Ohio State. And it involves a lot of research facilities. It involves a lot in the medical field. Of course, they're building a new $2 billion medical center, which they're very happy with so far. The manpower is there. It's well taken care of. Of course, it's early. It's mostly site work, site prep. There is some steel and some block coming up out of the foundation, which is good. And they're starting to erect floors. I think they're up to the 16th floor in steel now, but they're happy there. But what we're doing here with our training directors, our organizers, our managers, our agents, and our reps are just stepping up our outreach. Of course, our outreach director and communications director, Kelly Harrett, was spearheading a lot of that. But we're working with our Building Future staff and our Driving Future staff, just everybody. It's all hands on deck, and we're hitting career shows. We're reaching out to guidance counselors, parents, teachers, kids as low down as sixth grade to let them know about these opportunities that are going to come up either at Intel on the manufacturing side or in the building trades. And the response has been incredible, especially when you start talking about some of the wages, some of the benefit packages, and the debt-free schooling involved, that people can come right out of high school and be making a good living wage. So we're trying to do everything. We've got a workforce development plan in place. Our staff is meets monthly. We've got the Ohio State Building Trades involved as well, Mike Nisley and Kitty French, and they're helping because, like we said, Intel's great and it's in my area, but I think it's going to help 80 of the 88 counties here in the state of Ohio, and I think it's going to touch every building trades council in the state.
The 7,000 jobs, once this facility is built, and are we talking 2 years or 3 years before it's completed? What's the timeline?
So right now the goal is 36 months. The new plant manager that was hired, obviously he would like to see that trim down to 30 months. So we'll see. But I'd say 3 years is a fair representation. And then they want to go right into building the second plant and doing the second phase. So I think that we could look at 5,000 to 7,500 building trades members out there for the next 2 to 8 years, maybe a little longer.
Wow, that's amazing. Your conversation with Christina Johnson, the president of The Ohio State University, and they've got to be really excited. I mean, a great school. I had three of my children that went through OSU. I'm just wondering, has Intel like worked with them as far as the jobs that are going to be in the plant? I mean, this is a university that's really far ahead of its time. I'm sure that conversation has happened. Are you privy to any of that?
Yeah, and her and I conversation was really focused on getting people that were in high school or in college that wanted to get in the building trades, stepping that up to make sure that we have plenty of people take care of the work, not just in Columbus and Ohio State. But yeah, she said that she's having direct conversations with Intel. And the one thing that she did tell me, that when she reaches out to her kids that are in engineering, computer science, stuff like that, that a lot of the students at Ohio State are telling her, this is incredible that Intel is coming here. This is incredible about Amazon and Facebook and the expansion, because now I don't have to move to Charlotte, or I don't have to move to San Francisco, or I don't have to move to Portland for one of these jobs that I'm training and being educated for. I can stay right here. And I think that's what the big hope is of everybody in the public and private sector, is that a lot of these kids that are graduating from Ohio State and that are getting these degrees in these different fields, as this new type of manufacturing is evolving here in Central Ohio and the whole state of Ohio, that these kids can stay here and find a good job with good benefits and take care of their families and remain in Ohio. That's what we're all shooting for.
Sure. Yeah. Educate here, stay here. Dorsey, I have to ask you the question here. With all the building that's going on in Central Ohio and all the projects that you just referenced here, how are we doing housing all the workers with all the developments that are happening there? And I know the trades are not primarily involved in residential, but some of the apartment complexes, some of the rehabs on some of the warehouses, we're seeing that in a lot of the urban areas. How are we doing? Do we have enough housing stock to handle the load down there?
No, I don't think that we do have enough housing. And I think that that's a situation that's being addressed and has been thought of here in Columbus and Central Ohio even before the Intel announcement, but now we're really stepping it up. I know that there's a lot of buildings downtown that are empty that was former office space. It's not being utilized anymore because people haven't returned to work. They're more of working from home or in a hybrid background. And I know we're looking at redeveloping some of those buildings and turning them into condos and apartments. So I've met with developers and CMs and owners and talked to them about that. The other thing that I've been doing is, as I meet with economic development directors, whether it's from Marysville or Upper Arlington or Reynoldsburg or even outside of Franklin County, and we talk about what you and I just discussed, the suppliers and everything coming here that maybe not might not be in New Albany, but might be in Madison County or Pickaway County. They're talking about the need to develop their areas too and increase housing, and specifically affordable housing. So I do get asked by some of these economic development directors or even some of these county commissioners or city council people in these rural areas to come and speak about the importance of the housing and give my perception and my perspective of it. And that's what I've been trying to do, because you're right. We absolutely need to step up not only the housing in Central Ohio, but the affordable housing. And we're going to see, as people move here to work for Intel, whether it's on the construction side or on the supply chain side or in the manufacturing side, there's going to be a need for a place for them to live and a place to stay. And we're going to have to make sure we stay ahead of the curve, because, everything you read about, whether it's online or whether it's in the Columbus Dispatch, is this isn't it with Intel. There's going to be a lot of other things coming and following directly behind them, and we've got to be prepared for that. And the affordable housing issue is definitely one issue that needs to be tackled and addressed that we're working on.
What's the old line? If you build it, they will come. And they're definitely coming to Central Ohio, no doubt. All right, Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line, as he does each and every month right here on America's Workforce. He is the Executive Secretary Treasurer, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You could follow them on Twitter at Build Central OH. Let's move on, though, to the State House maps. And this is a sad story, because apparently the maps, and we're going to have an election in August, the maps that are in place are ones that were rejected not once but twice, and they're going to be in place because of a federal court ruling. Dorsey, how does this sit with you and the trades down in Central Ohio?
We're still kind of trying to unravel everything and figure it out, but obviously the commission, which was led by 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats, there were 7 on the commission, they worked at drawing maps. There was very little collaboration between the Democrats and the Republicans, from what I understand. There was also not a lot of effort put into the maps when it came to drawing lines for different members, different districts, making sure that districts that traditionally had been, you know, together weren't broken up or crossed up, whether it's Democrat or Republican or what. But they submitted, I think it was a total of four maps to the Ohio Supreme Court. Each map was rejected by the Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote, with Maureen O'Connor being the deciding vote. But they were, because they didn't follow the constitutional guidelines that we, the people, you know, we came up with a constitutional amendment, put it on the ballot, we passed it to hopefully end and stifle gerrymandering in the state of Ohio. But the third map, which was rejected, a federal court came in and said, listen, the state court can't keep doing this. This was a federal court of three judges. Two were appointed by former President Trump, and then the other one was an appointee by former President Bill Clinton. But the maps, the third map was rejected. They came in and said that the third map will be the map if the committee does not agree on a map by May 28th. Basically, the committee, I think that gave them free rein to say, well, our work here is done. The third map is going to be the map. And the map that they worked on to resubmit for that May 28th deadline was just a resubmission of the third map again, which had already been rejected. So the federal court stopped in. It's our understanding that everyone who's filed is now eligible to run in the state house and the state senate, depending on the district in which they filed in. And there is going to be an election August 2nd. So I think that's where we're at.
Now, Kelly Harrop is one person that works with you. In fact, we had her on the show a couple months back, and she is running for, what is it, District 3? Maybe you could speak to that. Does she understand her district now that it's kind of laid out?
Well, it was kind of like a rain delay in baseball because, you know, a few months ago was when, you know, she pulled petitions, she gathered signatures, she submitted her signatures in order to get on the ballot. And then it was like, okay, let's wait and see what district I'm running in. Let's see who I'm running against, and let's see where we're at. So that's kind of, I think, what she's done. She's hurried up and waited the last 6 or 7 weeks. Now that the maps are final, it's put on the gas, full accelerator. She's got her kitchen cabinet in place. She's got her treasurer of her campaign in place. She's got her campaign staff in place. She's, you know, looking at her mailer. She's looking at media. She's looking at all that stuff. You know, it's full go now, and it's a sprint to the August 2nd finish line. I think it's right around 61 days now, I think. So I know she's working hard. She's in a 5-person primary. The primary is going to be the race because it's a heavily Democratic district. So whoever wins the primary is going to win the general election in November. But like I said, she's working hard. She's raising money. She's got the full support of the Columbus Building Trades, ACT Ohio, the Ohio State Building Trades. I'm sure support of the AFL-CIO, the Cleveland Building Trades, Toledo Building Trades, numerous other labor organizations is going to follow, because I think there's nobody better suited in that race for the state house than her. She's got 3 years of experience at the state house working for Kristen Boggs, who is in minority leadership. She's worked a year in politics in D.C. She's interned for the building trades off and on for the last 10 years, and she's been working for us the last 2 years, running our pre-apprenticeship programs, helping with apprenticeship programs, doing outreach. And she's been on the ground floor understanding how important it is to help people who are economically disadvantaged, which is a large swath of that third district, how they can get the job training that they need, the workforce development skills that they need, and get right into the middle class.
So you said there's 5 people in that race. Again, we're talking about an election that will be held on August 2nd, which is 2 months away. And she seems to be the standout. What's your gut telling you? You think she can pull this one off? I mean, you know her very well. She worked with you for a number of years. How do you feel about this?
I think she definitely can win it. I mean, it's not going to be an easy task. It's going to take a lot of hard work, and I know it's work that she can do, and it's work that she's going to be ready for. You know, I think it's going to take a certain level of funding, which I know that we're all going to have to step in and make sure that she's there with that. So I think that she'll outraise the other opponents, which will be good. And then it's going to take some good old grassroots campaigning. It's going to be nights and weekends out knocking on doors, getting to know the constituents in that third district, not just the neighborhood in which she lives and the neighborhoods in which she's in, but the other neighborhoods that make up that third district. So I think she's got a great, great chance to win it. I think she's got a great campaign team. You know, she's got the help and support of the building trades, and that's going to mean a lot. And we're going to do what we can to get her in the state house, because I think she'll do a great job representing herself. herself, her district, organized labor, building tradespeople, and all the workers of not only her district, but the state of Ohio. I think she'll do a great job.
Okay, that's one to watch. Kelly Harrop for Ohio District 3 in Central Ohio. Dorsey, while we're talking about politics, I have to ask you, is Congressman Tim Ryan, who's running for Senate on the Democratic ticket, is he doing media down there in Central Ohio? And the reason I bring this up, I mean, he's all over the Northeast Ohio market, and he's coming on really strong against J.D. Vance. I'm just wondering, is it happening in Central Ohio?
It's definitely happening. I see him on the airwaves a lot. He's on the radio. He's on the television. He's on social media. I think he's doing a great job. From everything I've read on the national level, his race is a race to watch. It's a seat that can be flipped from Republican to Democrat, as Rob Portman is giving up that seat. And like you said, it's Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance. I think he's doing a great job. I got to speak at his announcement a couple weeks ago at the Iron Workers new training facility, where he was happy to receive the endorsement of the Ohio State Building Trades, which was great, in order to speak from there. I also helped him put together some people in a commercial that he shot out in New Albany that talks about Intel and talks about the production and manufacturing coming back to Ohio and what it means for the working people of the state. So I think he's doing a great job. I think he's doing a great job staying on message and getting his message out. And when I talk to my members, whether they're Republican, Democrat, black, white, male, or female, they resonate with what he's saying. They're all concerned about their wages. They want their wages to keep going up. They want their collective bargaining rights to be protected, which he, of course, is 100% for. So that way they can keep earning those good wages and good benefits so they can have good health care, good pension, good annuity, take care of their families, and retire with dignity and respect. And that's what he speaks to, and that's what really hits with our people.
Well, to your point, that is one race to watch. Tim Ryan for the U.S. Senate taking Rob Portman's seat. All right, one more issue here, the retirement of Mr. Timothy Skinner. And from what I understand, you're losing some talent here. Maybe you could give us a little background on Timothy.
Well, Tim's a great guy. He came in when I came in 2003. He was the business agent for the sprinkler fitters. So I can remember his first building trades meeting was my first building trades meeting. We talked, we went out to lunch, Club 185, kind of a popular spot with us back in the day, and just talked about what he believed in, what he worked on and everything. And we worked very close together, he and I, and came as a little bit of a surprise, but he had his time in and he's enjoyed his career and done a lot for his members and his union. But in January, he let me know that in the next couple of months that he was going to be retiring and he was going to spend some more time with his adult age children. He has three children and two grandchildren. He's going to spend some time with his wife, going to travel a little bit. And, you know, these jobs are hectic and there's a lot of hours and sometimes they're all hours. And he just wanted to be able to spend some time with them, you know, from time that he had missed and been away. The downside is this, is like I said, he was an incredibly talented guy. He was a great agent. He became business manager of 669 and did a really good job, helped mentor a lot of younger people and get them to where they're at. And now he stepped away. So the sad thing for us is that there's somebody that was very talented and great at what he did. And now they need to be replaced. And hopefully the guys behind him can kind of step up and fill the void. And that's what we've constantly got to do. We got to find those younger people that have that skill set, that talent, but also have that work ethic and that desire to want to do well and want to represent their unions and their membership and the labor movement. And we're going to need to fill that void with him. And it's going to be tough, but I wish him all the best, him, his wife, Carrie, and he did a great job, but he is going to be missed.
Yeah. Well, you look forward to that day when you retire. And when you're with the union, you know you're going to have good benefits when you retire because of the pensions that are so prevalent, especially in the trades. Good to hear. Good to hear. All right, Mr. Hager, we're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Website, columbusconstruction.org. Once again, the Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. You take care, my brother. We'll do this in another month, okay? Enjoy the summer.
You too. Thanks so much and have a great weekend.